Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I have a strong dislike for bowling. I'm kind of glad the Williams aren't here. They've got three kids that are always in all-state tournaments. You know, just incredible. When Haley was in junior high, I took her and one of her friends down to St. Clair, and we bowled, and I actually beat her one game, but she had a dislocated thumb, so I had a little bit of an advantage there. But the reason I hate bowling so much is one reason I'm not very good. The other reason is it's kind of painful. I don't go that often. I might go once every 2 years, every 3 years. Here's the deal. What happened yesterday was prom day. If you've been on Facebook, you've seen gazillions of prom pictures from me and a lot of other people. And so our daughter Heidi had been down for the weekend, and she's such a great sister, and she wanted to be with her sister who's going to the prom, Kristen. And so they went with Marty and couple others to get their nails done, and the things that you do. Poor Sean, my son-in-law, who's just such a wonderful guy, he's such a great guy. He was like, "Well, okay, what are we gonna do?" And it was pouring around rain yesterday, you might remember. And so I said, "Why don't we go bowling?" I don't know why. It was indoors, I thought, "Well, great, let's do that." Well, first game, actually, I didn't do too bad. I think I got three strikes. I don't think I've done that in probably 10, 15 years. So I was a little bit happy with myself. But after the game was over, I could tell almost immediately, and this is one of the reasons why I hate bowling so much. I don't hate it. I dislike it. I got to be careful how I say this. Is because everything on my right side hurts. I have a sore knee. I have a really sore thigh. I have a sore wrist. I have a sore right elbow. Everything on my right side is just killing me right now. And that's why, hey, it's not a full body workout. It's only a half body. So when you're sore, you're only half sore. But boy, that one side is really nagging at me. It's really giving me a hard time. Now, if Jesus has had materialized before me yesterday or today, and just, in his visible presence said, "Do you want to be healed?" That would have been an automatic for me. Yes, please, take away the pain. It's killing me. It's a no-brainer. The same was true when I was going through chemotherapy. Some of you have gone through different kinds of treatments for cancer and other ailments and things, and you've prayed, "Oh God, take this away." We just can't even imagine someone having to be asked, "Do you want to be healed?" As if there's any other answer. So that's what surprised me when I was reading through the text again for the gospel this morning, was that he goes to Jerusalem and finds himself at this pool at Bethsaida. I'm not going to pronounce it now because I can't say it. Bethsaida. Let me look at it. Bethesda. I was trying to even think of the home up north. Bethesda. So this was a place that scholars said didn't even exist until a few years ago. And actually they've done a lot of archaeological discoveries in Jerusalem, and they found these columns and the porticos were surrounding these pools. And so this is kind of tangential here, but those places really exist, which always just tells me the Word of God is true. Even though we're tempted to doubt it and question it, it's always been verified. There's been periods of times where we've questioned, is it true or not? Scholars tell us this, scholars tell us that. And then when finally the evidence comes forth, we sort of take a breath of relief and say, "Oh, thank God," And I'm always reminded of Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believed and have not seen." And I feel really guilty, probably like you do too. So there he is. Jesus said, "Come into Jerusalem." It was around one of the feast days. And he comes to this pool at Bethesda. I can say it now. And there's people there sitting in these porches that surround these pools. And they're invalids. They're lame. They're blind. They're, you know, whatever the scripture said, they just had some lots of big issues. And this is the one who Jesus went up to. Now, I wanted you to notice that if you read your Bible carefully and you go verse by verse, the end of chapter or verse 3, you might not notice that because there is a first part of verse 3, but the second part is not there. And verse 4 is missing, so it goes like halfway through 3 and then to verse 5, and you're going, wait a second, what happened to the other half of 3 and 4? And if you look in your footnotes, you'll see that there were some ancient manuscripts that apparently tried to explain what was going on or what the thought process was here. And apparently the belief was at that day that these people who were in need of healing would sit around the pool, and then an angel of the Lord would come and disturb the water, and the first one in the pool got healed. Well, the problem with this guy is, you know, he said, you know, every time I try to get into the pool, you imagine an invalid, he's having trouble. He's probably parked himself as close as he can, but as soon as the water stirred, someone else would step down ahead of him, and he sort of gave up. I think there's a connection there that deserves some attention. Because when he was asked if he wanted to be healed, he didn't just automatically say yes like we'd expect him to. He had an excuse. And I wonder how many times, spiritually speaking, if we haven't done that as well. Lord, yeah, I want to be healed, but, you know, I sort of like my condition. You know, because I don't have to really be G.I. Joe spiritual guy. I can just kind of wallow in my sin a little bit, and you'll have to give me a free pass because, you know, I'm sick. And I hear Jesus saying, do you want to be healed? You know, we live in a society today, you hear if you watch TV at all, the concern is we live in an entitled society. People just say, you know, we expect to get, and then the laundry list goes out. These are the things that we expect. And if you look at the political campaigns right now, boy, it's a tough one, because on one side there seems to be strong restraint, you know, for just all these entitlement programs we have. On the other hand, it seems like it's like we're going to give you the moon. We're going to give you everything. We're going to give you a full education. I want to go back to school and get another degree. I think I'd like to become a doctor. But, you know, I don't know how feasible that is or if that's even part of the program. But we have this entitlement thing, you know, thing that we feel like, you know, we sort of have a right to these things. And spiritually thinking the same way. Sometimes we just think we're entitled. God could never condemn me because, you know, I'm entitled. I'm not a bad guy. Yeah, I have my weaknesses. And that's because I'm sick. And I hear Jesus saying over and over again, do you want to be healed? And be honest with you, sometimes when he's asking me, I'm kind of thinking, no, not exactly. You know, because then, if I'm healed, then I have to become a responsible Christian. That means I might have to become a Christian who's vocal about my witness. I might have to talk to other people about Jesus. But if I'm still sick, then I can sort of let that go aside and say, well, there's lots of well people around that can do those things. There's lots of well people that can support the church. You know, but I can't do that because I'm sick. And we sort of lay there and wallow in self-pity and say, you know, it's not for me. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I don't know, there seemed to be a real big push against animal abuse, which is great. You know, it's wonderful. There is a lot of animal abuse. Apparently, there's still a lot of folks that raise dogs up to fight with each other, and they end up, you know, either getting killed or when they keep losing, they just sort of get pushed back in the kennel somewhere and not fed or taken care of. Some of those dogs can be some of the most beautiful, loving dogs and don't want to fight. And others, that's just so much a part of what they've been trained, they can't do anything else. And so this announcer on the radio was just saying, this is just horrible. And he says, I don't know if it's gotten worse or better, but I know it's still out there. And, you know, there has to be a change. It seems like there needs to be a cultural change in our society. And he said, I was just blown away. We need to become a more loving, more kind society. And I thought, whoa, you're speaking Christian language. Where is that love supposed to come from if it doesn't come from the source of all love, if it doesn't come from God? We haven't got a prayer unless we answer God's question, do you want to be healed? And we say, yes, Lord, heal me. And God, even before we've answered the question, has already supplied what we need when he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and to plant a love into our hearts that would endure not just through our lifetime but forever. God has given that to us as a free gift. They're talking in our domain. You know, it used to be a time when, you know, my parents would talk about the days when if something went wrong in the neighborhood, you know, the neighbors would just pick up and you still hear about things like that. You know, I remember when Sheila passed away, Sheila Sullivan passed away, and their neighborhood just rallied to support Dennis and be there for him and bring him food and all that kind of stuff. And he was just overwhelmed by the loving support by really Christian people that in the neighborhood there. And, you know, we kind of look back in the old days and say, that's the way it used to be. Nowadays, it seems like we're all on our own. We really can't depend on the world anymore. We can't depend on government because the resources are just too slim. They're not going to give us all the things that we absolutely need. But Christ, on the other hand, gives us absolutely everything we need when he gives his love. The church, as you know, is the body of Christ now. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left us visibly, but he did leave a visible presence through the church. And now you and I are the arms and the legs and the mind, and we have the mind of Christ, and we do the things that Christ has done and shown us how to do. That's part of who we are now. It's been given to us as a free gift. So what's going to happen when Christ asks you the question? Do you want to be healed? And I'm speaking spiritually now. My hope is that we would all continue to say, absolutely, Lord. Remove the sin that just seems to cling to me every day. It keeps me from being the best husband and the best father and the best neighbor and the best citizen in the country that I can be. Heal me of those things so that I might be of use to your kingdom, to bring others into the fold as you have taught us to do. You know, I just see tremendous potential, not because we're such great people, but because we have such a great God. How great is our God? And he has given us so much. He's given us an overabundance of so many things that we can share with our community and share with our world. And when people see us doing the things that Jesus did, it's Jesus doing them. It's Jesus doing those things through us. And so I'm going to ask you the question that Jesus asked. Do you want to be healed? And I know that you're saying yes. Here's the powerful word of God. Get up. Pick up your bed and walk. Walk in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.